We'll discuss the fourth part of the Kevadda Sutta. So at the beginning you can remember that we discussed the virtue part in greater detail. First part ended with the sense restraint. And then the third part we discuss another diagram, the aging diagram. Again discuss another diagram in the third part when we discuss the inside knowledge about the about floods. And so today we start with the part on the supernormal powers. With his mind thus concentrated, purified and bright, unblemished, free from defect, pliant, malleable, steady and attained to imperturbability, he directs and inclines it to the modes of supernormal powers. He wields manifold supernormal powers. Having been one, he becomes many. Having been many, he becomes one. He appears and he vanishes. He goes unimpeded through walls, ramparts, mountains, as if through space. He dives in and out of the earth as if it were water. He walks on water without sinking, as if it were dry land. Sitting cross-legged, he flies through the air like a winged bird. With his hand he touches the stroke, even the sun and moon. So mighty and powerful he exercises influence with his body even as far as Brahma world, just as skilled potter or his assistant could craft from well-prepared clay whatever kind of pottery vessel he likes, or as a skilled ivory carver or his assistant could craft from well-prepared ivory any kind of ivory work he likes, or as a skilled goldsmith, as his assistant could craft from well-prepared gold any kind of gold article he likes. In the same way, with his mind thus concentrated, purified and bright, unblemished, free from defects, pliant, malleable, steady and attained to imperturbability, the monk direct and inclined it to the modes of supernormal powers. He exercises such influence with his body even as far as the Brahma world. This too is called miracle of instructions. So here you can see so many psychic powers are mentioned. For example, if someone want to go through a wall, that he is an attainer of the space casino. Space is infinite. So then he would say, let there be space, and then there is space, and go through that one. And earth, that he goes down and he actually is a attainer of this, the element of cohesion is developing to that level. So he can say, let there be water, so then he can actually dive in. So various methods apply and become perform those things.
Is it because of the concentration, development of concentration?
Yes, it's the concentration. It's the consciousness has got so much power in it, and you can, if you know how to use it, then you can do so many things.
Yeah, is it a concentration with Dhamma or just concentration? Can somebody with just concentration...
Without Dhamma, I really do not know to answer to that one. Whether with the concentration alone, whether... There has been, I think, there are some stories.
And again, that I haven't seen this, but that... Khatragama or something, that place that what they call that the Diyakapana thing?
Yeah.
You know, that they say that.
Yeah, but.
Unlike, and again, they walk on the
fire.
That fire thing. And
yeah.
Things, so.
Yeah, that's because of the faith and sort of thing that they do. But these are nothing like that. These are more powerful things that one can perform.
There's one sutta, I think it is the first sutta of connected discourse, which is Ogatarna Sutra. And in that sutra, Tathagatana has said to a deva, that deva has had a question, and how did you cross the water? The question was. And so the answer was, I can't, I didn't say that I didn't stand on the water, and I didn't, stand on the water or something like that, and that is how, it is related to this thing, or it is,
No, that's totally different. It is actually, if you try to cross it by, using your arms and sort of thing, then you would get tired, right? And go around it. And, if you stay in the same place, you would sink. So he did neither. So it's through the liberation that he did. He did not explain it further over there. So that's different. This one is that the psychic powers, this doesn't have to be an arahant, for example, to perform these things. So since the other one can do, most probably, I think, if you have the higher concentration developed, then you may be able to perform it. So clairaudience, that with his mind thus concentrated, purified and bright, unblemished, free from defects, pliant, malleable, steady, and attained to imperturbability, he directs and inclines it to the divine ear elements. He hears by means of divine ear element, purified and surpassing the human, both kind of sounds, divine and human, whether near or far. Just as if a man traveling along highway were to hear the sounds of kettle drums, small drums, conches, cymbals, and tom-toms, he would know that it is the sound of these things. So, with his concentrated mind, he can hear these, the sounds of devas and all those things far away. And this too is called the miracle of instruction. And then the third one, next one is the mind reading. Cheto pariyam chittam. So, with his mind thus concentrated, purified and bright, unblemished, free from defects, pliant, malleable, steady, and attained to imperturbability, he directs and inclines it to knowledge of the awareness of other beings. He knows the awareness of the other beings, other individuals, having encompassed it with his own awareness. He discerns a mind with passion as a mind with passion. That is, lustful mind as lustful mind. Hatred mind as hatred mind. Hate-free mind as hate-free mind. And the deluded mind as deluded mind. Undeluded mind as undeluded mind. So he can actually comprehend all those things, and the restricted minds. Now, when we have the sloth and torpor, we have this sort of restricted mind. So one can see that one, and we can see when someone is lazy and lying down. But this is directly reading the mind, and. And the excel mind, you know, the mind has wisdom, then it has this excel nature. And when the wisdom is not there in the mind, then unexcelled mind. He discerns and concentrated the mind as a concentrated mind, and unconcentrated mind as unconcentrated mind. He discerns a released mind as released mind, and an unreleased mind as unreleased mind. This liberated mind can be seen as well. Just as a young woman or man, fond of ornaments, examines the reflection of her own face in a bright mirror or a bowl of clear water, would know blemished if it were blemished, or unblemished if it were not. In the same way, with his mind thus concentrated, purified and bright, unblemished, free from defects, blind, malleable, steady, and attained to imperturbability, the monk directs and inclines into knowledge of the awareness of the other beings. He knows the awareness of the other beings, other individuals, having encompassed it with own awareness. He discerns a mind with passion as a mind with passion, a mind without passion as a mind without passion, a released mind as a released mind, an unreleased mind as an unreleased mind. This too is called a miracle of instruction. Here that we can see that this, if someone got the mind with lustfulness, then they can read with the hatred mind as hatred mind. Probably we will look at the diagram over there, that there are two diagrams. The first, we are going to discuss this the diagram about this gatha, that these four circles in it. The diagram is called chakra. Chakra means wheels. There are four wheels. You see, the Buddha said in Anguttara Nikaya in one of those discourses that from these four wheels, a divine being or a human being, anyone in the world, attained the excellence. You know, these are the four wheels. You know, remember we had a car before we discussed with six wheels, and those are the bad wheels. These are good four wheels. And this diagram tells a really big thing on its own. And first we look at those four circles. Living in befitting places, that is Patirupa Desa Vasocha. You can see that the Pali, Gatha. So that you would live in befitting places. The befitting places are where you can actually see Aryans. So those are the places to stay on. And if you do that, then you would wait on true men. Sapurusa Upanisayo. That means that you waiting on true men. If you are waiting on true men, then there is a characteristic of seen noble ones. And when we say seen noble ones, this could mean two things. One is that you would see a noble one from your eye, and how he behaves, and how he walks, and how pleasant, you know, these faculties are, and so on. Or else, you could actually see, if you remember that Buddha said, Yo dhammam pasati, yo mam pasati, yo mam pasati, yo dhammam pasati. If you see me, you see the teaching. If you see the teaching, then you see me. So it could be in that sense. This inside you can see there are four things written. Seeing noble ones, they are all characteristics of those four circles. The characteristic of dependent on noble ones is that living in befitting places. And normal human being would actually think that the RN would depend on us because we are the one giving food and so on. Actually, we are depending on the RNs for the biggest thing, that is Dhamma and our liberation and so on. And for me, I was so fortunate in that sense that I could see RNs. And for me to see RNs, I had this light, the vision that I developed. And I thank so much for God Vishnu for that one. He is the one who actually asked me to develop this light. Oh, I can remember last 12 years, but he has been doing that one for me for a long time. He keeps on reminding me that when I was not developing this, and to do that one. So you can see that I could connect this world to the other world because of that light.
But you mentioned the name God Vishnu.
Vishnu, yes.
Is Vishnu a Buddhist God? Or?
He is the Bodhisattva. He is the next Buddha to become is God Naka, who is living in Tusita divine realm. Is the fourth divine realm. And God Vishnu is living in the sixth one, Paranimitta Vasavarti. And after this birth, he will be born in the third jhana realm, and yeah, he would live for 63 great eons, and then passing away, he'll be born in Tusita again, Tusita, and then become the Buddha. So
next Maitri Buddha is God Vishnu.
No, Maitri Buddha is God Natha.
Natha, after God.
God Natha, the Vishnu. Oh, okay. Yeah. So you can see even the gap between the two is 63 eons. It's a very, very big time.
So are these names mentioned in the Buddha's discourses?
The Natha?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I have...
Buddha mentioned about the God Natha. Yes. See, I heard about this one from the Akanitta Brahma realm, about the God Vishnu, that he will be born. He has got only three more births to become the Buddha.
So, can I please ask another very silly question? Because you're talking about God. In Sri Lanka, people talk about Samandevyu, Patthindevyu, Katipandevyu. Are they
Buddhist gods or?
Saman. Saman is Buddhist. And I do not know much about Patthini, but I have heard that she also wanted to become Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have heard, but I do not know on those things that much. Yeah.
But she has to get a male
belt. Yeah.
And even a male god before she become male human being?
That the order, I do not know whether you got to be like that or not. But I have heard that there are aspirations. That's what I have heard. But I cannot verify that one because I have never asked for Marahans about this one.
So as lay Buddhists, should we do offerings to those devas, like go to their devaras and
Well, I don't think they expect you to do that, although that people do it,
mm-hmm.
but they don't sort of expect you to, because, for example, for God Vishnu, that if you are actually doing meritorious deeds and go in the Buddhist thing, he would even protect you, if you are actually asking for his protection and sort of thing. That he would, because that he is actually protecting Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that if a person goes and just wishes for something,
yeah,
will that work?
And if there is a good person, I think
he would.
Because of Vishnu, God Vishnu is a good God. I mean, it's not a sort of a God that would help to
He is very straight.
Yeah,
you see, if you are making any mistakes, if you are killing, stealing, all those things, is away from you, far away from you. He is very straight with you. If you do a mistake, he will tell you, don't do it. And they abide by these precepts very well. They have developed their mind.
I guess what I want to know is, like, you know how in Sri Lanka they go to the Kovils and Devas and they borrow like him.
Yeah, but Let's not go into those details.
Is it something that...
I think they expect those things. Yeah, those things I think are made by those
made
people.
By okay.
Yeah, yeah, not
so
from them.
So we don't have to sort of...
No.
Even though it's elders who wants us to do that stuff, we don't have to do that because there's no basis for that, isn't it?
No. Well, what is that I'm giving this one for you? I mean, there's nothing for them.
But do the gods come to these places because those places are purified anyway, isn't it?
Yes, they are, because they are mostly in temples.
Mm.
They are not going to those killing places and those temples that they have some persons. I have seen in those places. Yeah.
But I think Hindus sacrifice animals
in the name of God. Yes, right. Yeah. So that's seeing the noble ones, right? And then you can see that number two, waiting on true men, lead to right disposition in self-guidance. So the attasamma panidana. Panidi, the word is that it's a monk who would see that if I actually behave like a person who is having this dhyana concentration, then the other people would, give me things and things like that. And so it is a bad position, right? And this is, over here we are talking about putting yourself in the good position, the right one. Between these two circles, number two and the number three, comes that third, the diagram, the other diagram I gave. So it is that big, between two and three. See, what it says in the that diagram, in the next diagram, you can see that when you see RNs, what do they tell you? So you can see in that particular diagram, on the left-hand side is the one that RN tell you to abide by. They are saying, have the right view. Don't have ill will, get rid of this vyapada. And don't have the abhijja, the covetousness. Get rid of that one. And then they also say, refrain from lying, refrain from harsh speech, refrain from frivolous talk, refrain from slander. And they say, refrain from killing, refrain from stealing, refrain from sexual misconduct. That's what is happening to us. There are two things over here. That is, you are actually, you were told to do that one. when you were told to do that one, then they are actually the basis for the non-delusion. You can see that this diagram, we discussed this diagram 20th of August 2010 when we were talking about Avasutta Pariyaya Sutta. And when we were discussing that one, we discussed this diagram. So you can see that these 10 skill states on the left side will lead to non-delusion, amoha, non-greed, aloba, and non-hatred, adosa. And because of those three things, you go in the right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. And having gone through those, you would maintain what the Arahant was telling you to maintain. So you can see, if you come back to the other diagram now, it says that you see the RN and the characteristics, there is this, the characteristic is the seeing noble ones. So this is the result of seeing the noble one. He is telling you to abide by these things. And what you get out of that one is the three kind of confidence. You see, there is the other arrow going from number two, is the three kind of confidence about the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. And you get samatha, quiet. Quiet is samatha. So, because of three kind of confidence, you have the sense restraint. See, because I don't want to have this new see things. If I see grass things from my eye, then I would go in the abhijja, you know, the covetousness. Viloka, if I actually see something and if I am angry with that one, then the ill will viloka, right? So, and having told that, you become quiet, and so that will prevent distraction of cognizance. That is the characteristic of this samatha, or the quietness is the preventing distraction of cognizance. In the sense that if your mind is going somewhere else, it is reconstructing back to the position. That there's a difference between the samadhi, the one coming out of the first one. The first one, you have a seclusion, that's viveka, right? And from that is from, by being, living in befitting places, you have the seclusion, right? If you are living in Iraq or some troublesome places, you don't have that. And so seclusion by body as well as the mind. So there is this concentration due to that one. So the concentration means that the one point tenses of the mind that you can concentrate to that one. The quiet is actually, it's like a set of those things. It is that my mind is going away from that particular point, but this is reconstructing back to same thing. So I have the concentration going on.
Here, this seclusion and concentration, it is not the perfect one we are looking at, but it is some sort of free from some sort of disturbances and all sort of thing, or it is completely...
It has got both meaning. See, the seclusion can have two parts. Actually, it has got three parts. The first part is that you can live alone, right, rather than a crowd. If you have money and all those things, I can stay on my own. I don't need anybody else to depend on that, in the sense that... So I can be alone and do my meditation, right? Rather than being together with the large number of monks. That means that I have one place on my own. And
that's what the Lord Buddha advised the monks, isn't it?
Yes.
And going through Kumuladatrava, Aranigatrava, Sunyagargatrava.
And not only that, Buddha said, don't stay in the temple if there are so many monks. When once Buddha was going through, Buddha saw in one place that there are so many monks. And then Buddha asked that there are Ananda, are there many monks living here? They said yes. Buddha said this sort of place monks should not be living, because that's, if you live so many in that one, that you can, a decline can be expected. You cannot expect. I think Mahasunnata Sutta, Buddha said this one. So that is one thing. And the other thing is that the chitta viveka, the seclusion from that mind. That means you go into the concentration, dhyana concentration, the rapture, the, you know, the pleasure and so on. And the third one is actually from attainment. You are not getting these defilements. So there are three kind of seclusion. So all included in that one. So when you have this the sense restraint and so on, you can see the other diagram applies, and then you go into the right disposition in self guidance. So you are in the right practice now. So the Eightfold Path sort of continue rather than the wrong one. You are positioned yourself in the correct one, and that leads to this alobha dosa moha. You know, the non delusion. Explain in the other diagram. Non-delusion, non-greed, and non-hatred. And that one has got characteristic of right practice, and also it leads to conscience. That Pali word is hiri. That means I am ashamed of doing bad things. What I am ashamed of? Again, in the back diagram, you can see I am ashamed of harming. I am ashamed of lying, harsh speech, frivolous talk, slander, all those things. So here you can see one set here. They will advise you to do that one. And having advice, if it is happening in my mind, I am ashamed that this is going on in my mind.
Self-realization.
Self-realization. You can see that the aging diagram, that means you are spinning back wheels. You know, the because of the ill will and all those things, you are spinning those musavada, frivolous talks and all those things. So you are not going to spin that one. If I am spinning, then I am ashamed. I should not be doing this one. So you can see that these two holds on its own. And that leads to the having in the past made merit. Now you can see that this one lead to merits. Now you develop your mind, and having developed, you got the merit. Because I am now not killing, I am not stealing, I am not doing those things. So I am actually developing these good states. So although the word past is mentioned over here, because that having, I get that one, and then you can see it's going back to the living in befitting places. So this diagram, all the circles continue. And it's the difference between this diagram. Remarkable difference is this is only spinning to the right, not to the left. You can see this diagram, all the circles are spinning right.
Positively,
yes. The other one is going left and right. You see, I want to eat hoppers or something, I go that way, you know. I want to do some kusal type thing, I will go that way as well. But this one only right. Hmm?
Yeah, originally actually I was thinking this number 4 circle should be in front, but now it is feeding back to number 1.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. So it's applying from
everywhere.
Having attained something, that it is keep on applying.
Because it's unless you know the things, unless you, have a faith on Dhamma, you wouldn't do any of these things.
No,
so that's why it cannot be started with
Dhamma. That's right. Yeah. So this. You can see now, if you go back to the top of that one, living in befitting places is a condition for virtue. You see, obviously you can see, if you are living in a very bad place, you can't maintain virtue. And also, this number 2 is also a direct condition for virtue, but Brahma Sampati asked me not to put it inside over here because it made the diagram complicated. That's why I have written in the note, 1, 2 and 4 are conditions for the virtue category. So there is a note over there. Both are direct conditions, right? And then the cause, the virtue has a cause as well. The cause is the right position, disposition in self-guidance. Because I myself put in that position, it's a cause because that I did it. You know, and then I develop certain things. And this virtue, now you can see, the right spinning is still continuing and going into the non-remorse. So that none remorse means no self-blame. If I'm not killing, nobody blame me because this guy is not killing and sort of thing, right? And if I'm not stealing, so all of them that will take care of me in that sense. No one, wise one will blame me or myself. I'm not blaming myself because I have done these bad things. So that lead to gladness. I am behaving in so and so, such and such way. And that lead to rapture. Preeti. That mental elation.
Same as the jhana state?
This is the jhana state, yes. Yeah, so after this gladness, you can see all the jhana states. So,
is this preeti sambojjhami?
Yes, yes, yeah. So then that lead to the tranquility. Again, this part we discuss in the proximate course discourse, Upanishad Sutta, Vidana Samyutta. We discuss over here, latter part of the diagram. When you have the tranquility, that means that your mind is serviceable. Serviceable means that your mind become light. Mind can be applied to the concentration or thinking about the Dhamma, you know, it workable and serviceable. And then it lead to sukha, pleasure. So there is this non-affliction as the characteristic of this pleasure. And that leads to concentration. It has a characteristic of non-distraction. And that leads to knowing and seeing how things are. That is yathabhuta jnana dasana. So you can see the characteristic of yathabhuta jnana dasana, knowing and seeing how things are. This is the undistorted judgment. Your judgment is clear about the matter. Yes, it is suffering. You are not shaking that whether it is suffering or not. So that leads to revulsion, nibbida. Non-reliance on spinning those back wheels, for example. I don't want to go into these the frivolous talks. And I'm not relying on that one. People do that one even in the office. Well, if I'm not doing that one, then others would think differently about me. So some people do that one. So you are not relying on those things. I'm happy to give up those things. And that is a condition for the dispassion. Non-corruption. So you can see it is asankilesha lakkhana. Asankilesha lakkhana means non-corruption. What are the things that my mind get corrupted? My mind get corrupted from those frivolous talk, slander, harsh speech, and lying. Lying is a bigger thing over there. And then I get the liberation. When I have the liberation or vimukti, I have the seclusion from unprofitable ideas. So you can see what are the unprofitable ideas? You can see the lobha, dosa, moha, and whatever thing leading to that one. So I have the seclusion from those. So they are not actually impinging my mind. And one very good point to mention over here, that this liberation when you achieve, there are so many liberations. Right, so you have the three liberations, and you have eight liberations. The three liberations are that you go into this jhana concentration. Let's say you go into the seventh jhana concentration, and then you think this is impermanent. So you get this anamitta cheto vimukti. That's one thing. Or you go to the seventh jhana concentration, and then you think it is suffering, and seeing the perception and what perception is there in the seventh jhana level, and then you think that is suffering. So you go into this apinita cheto vimukti. That is that you establish that this is suffering nature. And then you go into seventh jhana concentration, and then you apply the not self nature. So then the shunyata cheto vimukti, voidness, is there. So those are three concentrations, the liberations. And there are eight liberations. Those eight liberations are, when you become a stream enterer, in the path, there is this one liberation. It's so powerful, you can use that one as a weapon to cut whatever the cravings type things that are coming up. Anger or anything. is so powerful. And then there is another liberation.
Sotapanna,
path, the and the fruit. Magga and pala. Magga and pala.
That's how that the 8 different persons are coming, isn't
it? Yes. So there is the stream enterer, the path, and the result. And the result is sort of like the path, I would say, like a weapon. You can actually see that from this, that one arose. The result has got concentration with it. It's like that you understand that this the bhavapachya jati, that is this the existence lead to birth, and the birth is suffering. So there's another path into that one. So because of that, this is having reached something, and then you see the concentration, then you would see that there is samadhi, concentration, because of that the second path.
Is that the how you confirm it is that you don't in one meditation you don't have a doubt, and the next meditation you see yes, this is suffering, and it's
something
like that.
Yes,
it's every meditation, so I mean, it is the yes, it is suffering. You realize that is the one always coming, but there is no doubt in it.
That's right. It's very strong. You don't have doubt. That you would see anyone, for example, if you want to generalize it, you would see anyone else in the world would attain this state like this way. Or the equivalent, it is equivalent. Although it's not the same thing I did, but this result is equal. That's what it is. So there are 8 like that one. So the 8 liberations. Now you can see, if you have those liberations, and if you want to keep on applying it, the discourse to use is Ratana Sutta. If you keep on applying the Ratana Sutta is talking about the triple gems, the value. Buddha is the greatest gem in that sense, and then Dhamma, and then it's arranged in such a way, if you go through that one, you keep on maintaining that state, you are not going to fall from that your liberation state. And at that particular time, actually at the liberation time, you are not even clinging to the truth. You would protect the truth, such as Vittana, the previous diagram you can see, you would not cling to that one, but you would protect it. How do you protect it? How do you protect the truth? Let's say someone is coming and actually telling you a lie. If you cling to the truth, then you get angry. If you are not clinging to that one, then you would see, well, this person is telling a lie, the truth is that one, and you live in that the truth in your mind. What is Ratana Sutta is doing? Is protecting you yourself. Ratana Sutta, protect yourself. It's a protection verse. And it protects. What is it protecting? It's protecting your effort. To attain that one, you are going through this eightfold path. To going through the eightfold path, there is this right effort. The right effort, the fourth one is, what is the fourth one? First one is, right effort, first one is the effort to prevent the arising of unarisen evil things. The second one, the arisen one, you want to get rid of. The third one, you want to have the faith of the stream mentor. And the fourth one, I want to maintain what I have achieved. It says that in Pali, that uppannanam kusalanam dhammanam titya sammosaya viyo bhagaya. You are actually maintaining without without falling from that.
It's actually maintain your qualities within you, isn't it? Because even though we listen to Dhamma and try to do these things, always we try to, if there is a chance, you would compare yourself. That is, when you do that, it's clinging in there, isn't it?
You get the conceit straight away, and then you clinging to your view of that one.
Yeah.
How would the Arahant do? well, this person is lying. Well, I got rid of that lie.
Yeah.
That's what he actually thinks. I got rid of that one. Therefore, he doesn't have any problems with that one. He's not clinging to anything. So if you, otherwise if you cling to the, even the truth, that this is the truth, noble truth is the truth, and so on, if you cling to that one, then there is a fight within you and the others who does not believe it. So you can see in one discourse, I can't remember the exactly discourse, that a monk had this the view about the fire aggregates, and it was so pure. And then Buddha said that the view of yours so pure, do not cling to it. That's what Buddha said to that monk. And so if you have the liberation, then you have the knowledge and seeing the deliverance, that that I am free, sort of thing. That would be actually, for a stream mentorer, he would see that I am free from this the hell, animal realm, in the plane of departed and so on. Arahant would see that I have no more births, and that's it. So he's free. So having done that one, what will happen? You can see we are going back to that four wheels again. Somewhere you are entering because these are the skills, merits you acquire, and you can see having in the past made merit, you enter someone, this circle again, and you keep on running the circle again until you become an Arahant.
So it's just a link from here.
Somewhere. It is, I would believe it is to the fourth one over here. Because over here you acquire the skill and go back to this one.
But if now here it is applied to four, if we don't get liberated or whatever the thing, with the Arahantship, because we, for example, we are in the path. In the path means we are running circle around here and entering to now, going through that one and entering to four. And then going through that one, I come from.
That's right. Right, yes.
But once we get into Arahantship, we finish everything.
Everything. No circles.
No circles.
No circles whatsoever. It's all finished.
Even if you get into this eighth thing, also you are going so many times.
This is repeatedly applied.
You want to go to the path, you go several times. And then once it is done, so you go to several times again, you go to that stage.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it? That you go eight times.
Many times. Many times.
But at least to confirm eight full circles.
Yes. You can see, even in the Eightfold Path, within this circle, the third circle, you can see, you may be going through many times inside that circle. You are spinning that circle many times. What is happening in the Eightfold Path meditation? You keep on applying this one. And you go into the concentration. You come back to the right view again. And then you go to the right thought and going back to the concentration. Keep on doing that.
Is it because you are dropping from back to here, or is
because Dhamma is structured, the right view lead to right thought, right? So right view is understanding about the Four Noble Truths itself. Now you go into the concentration and then you get the Yathabhuta Jnana and you actually confirm, yes, that is right. This is suffering. So you are back to the right view again. So he is no escape from that one until you liberate. The people actually get out of that one. That's the problem. So if you actually really value the Eightfold Path, if you repeat it yourself in the meditation, very powerful. Very powerful on its own.
It is, now we can see in the right view, he's starting from suffering, and cause of suffering, and get rid of suffering, and then path leading suffering. It is again starting with right
view,
and so it, that link you are talking about, we are circle around, we are circle around until we get liberated.
There are short circles, and there are big circles. The short circles is the one that you are actually talking about.
Yes.
The right view, right thought, and then you are actually going back as well. And also, you have the, remember this, the Mahachattarika Sutra, Buddha said that the right view, the right effort, right mindfulness circle around as well. And then from the right view to right concentration, and the concentration back to right view. It's happening as well. So all circles going in the right way, not the left way.
But this frivolous talk thing actually, because this is not to criticize anybody, sometimes I get confused that these Western monks, whenever they have a discussion, they say, if you don't have any questions, tell some jokes. I mean, isn't that frivolous talk?
It is.
Yeah, because you cannot tell jokes. Not clinging to that joke.
It is totally wrong. Jokes are not there in Buddhism at all. If someone is joking, that means he is a joker, not a Buddhist person. Buddha said that what do you joke for your living, right? Buddha said that if someone has got kuha, that means that the sort of wrong way of living, and if he kuha lapa, that means that you know, for the fame and the you know, those astaloka dhamma, where you want to labha satkara, you know, that you want to get the certain things, right, and the reputation and so on. So if he is doing that, and again he is taddo is actually coming from the mana. And he does not have a concentration. Buddha said that he is not a monk. He is not a monk. This gatha is in Jarasa Sutta Nidesa, Maha Nidesa. It's like,
how can this humor affect like
this frivolous talk? Frivolous talk will lead to delusion. If you go back to the other diagram.
If it doesn't harm anybody, harm yourself. It harms yourself.
It harms yourself.
Yes.
It harms others as well. I can tell you a good example of a frivolous talk. Let's say a boy who is not thinking about girls at all, or another boy who is actually have this, you know, the sensual desire, would describe a part of that woman's body, such and such. The other boy, who was not actually thought about these things, he might have done these things in the past births, but in this birth, he is sort of innocent, he does not know about these things. Having heard that one, now he was not used to look at those things, now he is actually looking at thinking about it. And that lead to sensual sexual misconduct. So itself is very bad.
I thought exactly what you said, when the primary school starts teaching the kids about the these things, and I thought these kids are very innocent, and then they give the curiosity to the kids' minds, and they change after that?
That's right. It is. We are harming in that way. Okay, so I think we can see that this one completely leads into the liberation. So we were looking at the mind reading, and then we were looking at the lustful mind and all those things. You can see this diagram is actually taking away from those. And then a recollection of past lives. So Pubbe Nivasana Sinhana, with his mind thus concentrated, purified and right, unblemished, free from defect, pliant, malleable, steady, and attain to imperturbability, he directs and inclines into knowledge of the recollection of past lives. He recollects his manifold past lives. One birth, two births, three births, four births, and so on. So 50,000, 100, many eons of cosmic contraction, many eons of cosmic expansion, many eons of cosmic contraction and expansion, recollecting. So you see there, I had such a name, belonged to such a clan, had such an appearance, such was my food, such my experience of pressure and pain, such the end of my life, passing away from that state, I re-arose here. There too I had such name, belonged to such a clan, had such an life, passing away from that state, I re-arose here. So it's like that someone in a big mountain or something, you know, looking at, then you can see this that this someone entering the village and go to another village. That's the example Buddha gave, that one can actually see that it is happening. So if someone want to recollect these past births, that one would normally go into a fourth jhana concentration, you can do it before that one as well. And so normally you go into a higher concentration, and I can tell you how I did it. I went to the seventh jhana concentration, and then sort of coming back, I was thinking about what I was doing in my past birth, what was the profession I had. Then I could see that, you know, that my hand is going like that on a piece of wood, thus I'm a carpenter. So then you can, you recall your actions. You know, not that what I was, just, it doesn't come to your mind. You need to recall your actions. And if you want to even the recall your name of that birth, you need to have an instance where your name would appear. Either in a, you are reading your birth certificate, or
someone is calling
you, right? So that's how I recall my name from the birth certificate, you know, the doing that.
It is perfectly, I think, in line with what normally happening in our this life too, and we can remember what the things we are remembered. And the things happen to us,
that's
the
right.
Actions and everything. And so, it is the thing, this vinyana or keeping thing, and that samskara keep on going into next birth and something like
yeah.
that, isn't it?
Yeah, you need to give an input to the, you know, the, you can let your mind talk to yourself. If you give some sort of input from your words or something, and it can process that one, and something will come out. You know, there sometimes people are talking to himself. Well, that's
actually... Yeah, when we try to work out something, so if we can't think, we just say that, no, this, blah, 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 so then it will come out.
It will come out. So that's how our things actually working. It's actually very well fitting with our neural network. You know, if the neurons are given an input, you get something coming out of it.
I can give a good example. I don't think this happened to me many times in my life. For example, if I forget something very, very familiar thing, I forget. But how can I realize it is I am recalling back the sequence of things happened to me until that point, and suddenly I found out this is the one.
That's what it is, yes.
It probably common to everybody, but for me it works very well.
Yeah, it is called associative memory. You know, this even a song, if you hear one word of it, you can say the rest of it like that. So it's called associative memory. So that's how you recall that one. And then passing away and reappearance of beings with his mind thus concentrated, purified and bright, unblemished, free from defects, pliant, malleable, steady and attained to imperturbability, he directs and inclines it to the knowledge of the passing away and reappearance of being. He sees by means of divine eye, purified and surpassing the human beings passing away and reappearing. And he discerns how they are inferior and superior, beautiful and ugly, fortunate and unfortunate, in accordance with their karma. These beings who are endowed with bad conduct of body, speech and mind, who revile the noble ones, held wrong views and undertook actions under the influence of wrong views, with the breakup of the body, after death, have reappeared in the plane of deprivation, the bad destination, the lower realms in hell. But these beings, who were endowed with good conduct of body, speech and mind, who did not revile the noble ones, who held right views and undertook actions under the influence of right views, with the breakup of the body, after death, have reappeared in the good destination, in the heavenly world. Thus, by beings of divine eye, purified and surpassing of human, he sees being passing away and reappearing, and he discerns how they are inferior and superior, beautiful and ugly, fortunate and unfortunate, in accordance with their karma, just as if there were a tall building in the central square of a town, and man with a good eyesight standing on top of it were to see people entering a house, leaving it, walking along the street and sitting in the central square, The thought would occur to him, these people are entering a house, leaving it, walking along the street and sitting in the central square in the same way with his mind thus concentrated, purified and bright, unblemished, free from defects, pliant, malleable, steady and attained to imperturbability. The monk directs and inclines it to knowledge of the passing away and reappearance of beings. He sees by means of divine eye, purified and surpassing the human beings, passing away and reappearance, and he discerns how they are inferior and superior, beautiful and ugly, fortunate and unfortunate in accordance with Dhamma. This too is called the miracle of instruction. So to do this one, you need to develop the light. I cannot do this one, but you can. You have to develop the light, keep on focusing on perceive the light. The light would appear with the concentration as well. When it appears, you need to sort of shape it in the sense that like the size of the moon or something. And then you say, let it be bright like a moon. And then you have the ability to move it around like that. And then there are 18 things to do as well to make it further. Well, the contemplation about the 32 parts of the body is another one. With that light, you contemplate about the 32 parts of the body, and then you can actually see inside your body. That I can actually see, that this the bones and the whole structure of the body can sense from the light. And it has a range, you know, that you can see up Akanita Brahma realm from here. And so even the bottom of the sea, you can see even the small plants. And also you can see, you know, this in the space, that asteroids and all those things, if you are going to that concentration, you are actually like a person who is traveling in that space mission. You can see the small one, and I can tell you it's so beautiful. World up over there with that, those things are so beautiful if you see. But as soon as things are, this is beautiful, you are fallen from that concentration and no more. If you are not clinging to anything like that, then you can maintain and go there.
It's I think it's you can see activity from the higher concentration. I think that's how, I mean, in the past, so many theories in sciences and everything, that's how they got it, isn't it? Because of the concentration.
That's right.
Say Kekule, how he got the dancing circle, it's something like that, isn't it? And then that's why I think it's that's why I asked the question whether this is about the Dhamma or whether it's not, can be done only using the concentration.
Yeah. Too. Certain things are due to concentration. Mm-hmm. Certain things are due to Dhamma.
Yeah, that's right.
So the reappearance and all those things are, I think it's Dhamma.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to apply this, you know, unless you know that these killing, stealing, all those things, bad and sort of thing. Mm-hmm. How that diagram works, for example, that aging diagram, you know, the backspinning of the vehicle, those things, you can't do that. But going through walls and that sort of thing, I think you can.
Yeah, that's right, because the Westerners apply these things for the movies and everything. Unless somebody one day, not one person, I mean somebody, has put this thing, nobody can apply these things.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
So how did you receive this Kamma Vipaka, like how one person is getting the repercussions of what he does?
Well, that because he has seen many, many births. If you see many, many births, then you have the sample. You know, then you can see that I myself, having done, I can give you a couple of examples from my own. I can see in one birth, about 280th birth, backward, I was killing these Kabaragoya, what is Kabaragoya? Yeah, so I was killing those things. I'm living out of those things. And then as soon as I did that one, and after passing away, then I became one of them. I became that animal, right? And and about 40 births ago, again, I was killing these animals, and I was selling meat. And I went to the hell after that one. I was actually selling them while they are living. and went to the hell, and they remove my flesh like that I was removing while I am living, while the animal was living. I am taking the part of the animal while I was living. They were removing flesh from my hand like gloves, removing that one. You can see that now these actions lead to this one, right? But there is a part here, a wrong part one can go into. Buddha said in the discourse that someone with the concentration, he see that this sort of thing, and then having seen, he actually generalize it. You should not generalize. A Buddha can see the whole generalization. The karma is a very, very difficult one for someone to
analyze. One sutta is there, isn't it? Yes.
It is. Yeah.
How, whether you, whether you generalize if somebody goes to this place because of these things.
Yeah, but because Buddha see the other karma as well, from his previous ones as well. Right?
It was saying that in that case, I think that there are possibilities or cases that somebody was doing very good things, but
he passed.
So something like that, because it is not the immediate past karma that he has done something before, and it comes to
So what do you mean by generalizing here?
Buddha
has not been generalized.
Yeah, so just because you see it from the concentration alone, you should not generalize. Now, if I say that everyone actually did whatever I did, go to hell, it's not true. He might have done so many good things, therefore he's prevented, and he might, let's say he got right view at the end because of something else, and then he wouldn't.
Otherwise it becomes opinion, isn't it?
That's right. So, but there is a way to this sort of calculate and see these things, not only from those examples. Those are actually from those Dhamma. We discuss that, these diagrams that we discuss, that from the nutriments, and how these links work. If you know from one to the other, for example, that vehicle, how the vehicle is going to spin, you know, we can calculate sort of these things. And I have done a small calculation because of the Brahma Sahampati asked me to do that. So that's another way. So what the way Buddha actually applied, I do not know, but superior.
But I think that will be something very strong if one understands how karma is going to, how you see the consequences, and then kind of give you more understanding.
They are Tathagata Bala, you know, the Buddha's power. Not everybody got that one. And Buddha can even see that this person has done such and such actions, but its result has not yet come. And he knows that this is going to happen tomorrow. Before that, he is actually going and rescue that person. He has that ability as well. One of those ten powers of the Buddha, is one of them is that. So Angulimala, for example, you know, rescued at the right time, because he's from his compassion, he surveyed the whole world and he see, I had to rescue that person this time, and so on. So Buddha has a little time as well, so he's spending very wisely using those powers.
That's where as human beings, even though we are Buddhists, that's where when people don't listen to Dhamma, think that if we do good things for this life, so there is like a confirmation that we will be good, but that's because of the avidya, the ignorance, that we don't realize that the previous karma can come and play.
Well, you do not know how bad it could be.
That.
It could be very bad. It can be very bad.
But you can't do anything about it.
But remember, we discuss another discourse over here. If you maintain the loving kindness to the loving kindness, metta appaman, or compassion to the unlimited level, that's the way to get rid of. Because that, if you develop it to that level, that those small karma that you have done in the past, right?
have no chance.
Yeah, but why do we say that we can't do anything with that? That's what the four stages are about.
That's so, right. That's one thing. That's one thing. Even if you can't attain the four stages, you can see the Buddha's discourse. We discussed over here about a month or two ago that if you maintain loving kindness to the greater level, but again you go through that 10 Dhamma paths to arrive at that one, and if you do that one, well, that the other karma will not stand a chance.
That's only for one life. It is.
Yeah. But to maintain loving kindness into that level, you got to be attained as well. Otherwise, you can't maintain it.
So we really need to attain the jhana states. We should really work at that.
Well, you make a goal that your goal is the Nibbana, nothing else, right? And your path is the Eightfold Path. And then to attain Nibbana, I go through the Eightfold Path. That's my task. If you are firm on that one, I will tell you, get the concentration. Without thinking about it. If you think I need the concentration, therefore I'm going to develop the concentration, it's very hard. But if you think this is my path, I will practice this path thoroughly. Then you go through that concentration. You get the concentration because it's well structured from the right view and right thought. It keeps going on to the concentration. And that concentration is so valuable. It's not like that the concentration outside of this Buddhism. It's like that I can have a kasina meditation. You know, I was developing a blue kasina sometimes. And I'm focusing on the blue and the blue sort of thing. But that doesn't do much. If I can develop it to a very high level, then it would. But this concentration you might get for a little, you know, for a second or 1 millionth of a second. But with the right view. Right view is the most important thing. So if you want to have a concentration, you got to have the right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right mindfulness and right effort. With those seven factors, you got to have concentration. That concentration is valuable. Then anything else is a concentration. When that is actually living in, happiness. Ditta Dhamma Sukha Vihara, that in Pali. That is, you are happy at that particular time.
But again, isn't it a jhana level that you do take one Dhamma thing and analyze that? That is a jhana too, isn't it?
That is jhana too, but then how do you arrive at that jhana? You need to arrive at with the proper things, you know, in your hand. You got to have the right view. And the right thought, man, the thought of renunciation. Otherwise, I can go into the first, let's say I'm going to the third jhana level, concentration. I'm happy with that one. I abide by that one. I live with that one. I'm passing away, I'll be born in the third jhana realm. And then after passing away, I'll be back over here.
So, develop that concentration. Don't we have to first get rid of 5 hindrances and the 10s?
Well, you get it, the 5 hindrances and the 10 from the right view. If you think that this is suffering, would you go and grab it? If you think sensual desires are so bad and lead me to suffering, and then that's the understanding that I don't want that one. So with that understanding, you go into the right thought. So your sensual desires are gone and the ill will are gone. So there is this method.
That whenever we go to a concentration, if we think about the work or about kids or about work at home, that is sensual, isn't it?
Mm.
That goes to sensual.
Yes.
But when we are living in a society, living in a house, you're always disturbed by these hindrances because you get ill, you get all these things and things.
Yeah,
you try to maintain, but it's
At that particular time, that you should be sort of aware that my back wheels are spinning. You know, that I have these frivolous talks, harsh speech and all those things, and this is bad for me. It is happening from the faith. If you have the faith, that this is bad, that means you are happy to stop it. You need to keep on applying that one, and you need to remind yourself, yes, I was angry, I was shouting, and all those things, so I need to get rid of this one, because it's harming me, harming others, harming both. Why would I harm myself and others? And what would we achieve by these things?
So the right view is to remind myself that things lead to suffering.
No, that is the mindfulness actually reminding you. Right view is actually you have the view that I don't want this. You know, I don't want that suffering. This is suffering. First, you have the view that this is suffering. For example, I have a frivolous talk or harsh speech. That means it is suffering. Right?
I have a pleasant cake. I remind myself that this is suffering too.
Yeah. That one lead to suffering by eating and clinging and all those things. Yes. But if you eat the cake just to fill up your stomach, you know, just to live, that's fine. But this is a tasty cake, and I want to eat the tasty cake, and I'll keep on. Yeah. The ending of mental fermentations. With his mind thus concentrated, purified and bright, unblemished, free from defects, pliant, malleable, steady and attained to imperturbability, the monk direct and inclined into knowledge of the ending of the mental fermentations. He discerns as it come to be that this is stress. This is the origination of stress. This is the cessation of stress. You see, that's what we are understanding all the time. Whatever the attainment, the three mentor, once returner, never returner, or the arahant, all understand the same Four Noble Truth, whichever way they come. And these are the mental fermentation. This is the origin of that tone. This is the cessation. This is the way leading to the cessation of fermentation. His heart thus knowing, thus seeing, is released from the fermentations of sensuality, the fermentation of becoming, the fermentation of ignorance. With release, there is knowledge that is released. So that's the diagram we actually discussed a little while ago, with those chakra, the wheels. And he discerns that birth is ended. The holy life fulfilled the task done. There is nothing further for this world. Just as if there were a pool of water in a mountain glen, clear, limpid and unsullied, where a man with good eyesight standing on the bank could see shells, gravel, pebbles and also all those things. This pool of water is clear, limpid and unsullied. Here are the shells, gravel and pebbles, and also these shoals of fish swimming about and resting. In the same way, with this, his mind thus concentrated, purified and bright, unblemished, free from defects, pliant, malleable, steady and attained to the imperturbability, the monk direct and inclined to the knowledge of ending of the mental fermentations. So he sees the suffering nature, origin of that one. So what he was actually doing, again he was going through the Eightfold Path. That's what he was doing. Keep on applying the Eightfold Path and then you would see it. And this too is called the miracle of instruction. And these are the three miracles that I declare, Kevata, having directly known and realized them for myself. So conversations with the God. Once Kevata, the train of thought arose in the van of a certain monk, in the very community of monk. Where do these four great elements, the earth property, liquid property, fire property and the wind property, cease without remained? He want to see whether these material things, where would it cease without remained? It's actually wrong question he had. And so he went to this, certainly this monk can actually go into the other worlds. So he went to the first divine realm, asked the four guardian gods, and then they were, when they were asked, they said, we also don't know where these four great elements cease without remained. And then he was directed to the Tautimsa, and then went to the Satra, and then he asked from Satra, and then Satra said, no, I do not know, there's one realm above me. And so he went on to all those worlds. And then he went to the sixth divine realm, and then they said, we do not know, but the Brahma might know. And so he was asking, where is the Brahma? We said, we do not know, but he will appear sometimes, and the light will appear, and then we will know. So somehow the great Brahma appear that time, or maybe different time. And then he went and asked that, when he asked where would this matter, all those things will cease without remain. And then the Brahma was saying, I am Brahma, the great Brahma, the conqueror, the unconquered, the all-seeing, all-powerful, sovereign Lord of Maker, Creator, Chief, Appointer, and Ruler, Father of the all that have been and shall be. Because he was born first in that empty Brahma world, and he had a long lifespan.
Is it the same Brahma that we have now?
There are so many Brahmas.
No, is that the Sahampati
Brahma? No. These Brahmas are not Sahampati Brahma.
Ah, okay.
They are actually, you see, they are like a Sakra. There is a Brahma who is having this rulership as well in that. It is that, probably the first jhana or second jhana realm, I do not know. Right. So then, because he does not know, he was actually telling this one, and the second time also he is telling that one, and then the third time he said the same thing, and then take this monk and say that I do not know, and so go and ask the Buddha, because these people are thinking that I am the creator, I am the and that one. Said to him, these courts of the retinue, Brahma, believe there is nothing that the great Brahma does not know. There is nothing that great Brahma does not see. There is nothing which the great Brahma is unaware. There is nothing that great Brahma has not realized. This is why I did not say in their presence that I too do not know where the four great elements is without the refrain. So, and then he was asked to go and ask the Buddha. So he went back to the earth and asked the Buddha. And then the Buddha said thing like that bird, you know, going in the ship and traveling through this thing. And if it saw the shore in any direction, it flew there. If it did not see the shore in any direction, it returned back to the ship. In the same way, monk, having gone as far as the Brahma world, in search of an answer to your question, you have come right back to my presence.
Because that monk was Buddha's monk.
Yes. Rather than asking the Buddha, he went to this thing.
The Brahma he saw was the creator of this world?
No. Okay. It's not that someone created this world. It's just he. You see, the most beings, when this world get destroyed, most beings are being born in the Abhasara Brahma realm, the second jhana realm. And they come back to this world when this was formed again. So one of those, you know, that the world become, sort of this Brahma world become empty for some time. So one has been born in that Brahma realm, into the empty Brahma world. And having been born into that empty Brahma world, he lived there for a long time. And then the wish come to him, well, it's good that if there are other beings over here, come to this world. So after a long time, someone like him, he happened to be born there, another one comes here. He thinks, because of my wish, there's another one came. Right, so he thinks that he created this one. There's a discourse about this one. Buddha is telling this one. So then others believe, well, he's the father because he was here first. And he has got a long lifespan because he was born first. He has got a long lifespan than the others. So the others are passing away. This person is still living. So he's thinking, I'm the great Brahma and I'm the creator. And
do
so,
they go there because of the perception?
Well, they have done some sort of meritorious deeds in happen to be, you know, that some people are in certain islands, nobody else live, right? They went there from a boat or something like that on having been born there. You would think like that, some sort of merits. So then the Buddha said, your question should not be phrased in this way. Your question is wrong. Where do these four great elements, the earth property, the liquid property, the fire property, and the wind property cease without remainder? That was his question. Instead, it should be phrased like this. Where do water, earth, fire, wind have no footing? Where wouldn't it be established? Right? Where are long and short, coarse and fine, fair and foul, name and form, go to and end? And the answer to that is consciousness without feature. Without end. Luminous all around. Here water, earth, fire and wind have no footing. Here long, short, coarse, fine, fair, foul, name, form are all brought to end. It's the gatha. With the cessation of that consciousness, each there is brought to an end. So it's again back to our diagram. You can see I was telling that if you attain this liberation, and then having attained this liberation, if you maintain the Ratana Sutta, that means you are protecting that one all the time, not even clinging to the truth, but you are protecting the truth. And so would your consciousness be established on any form, with the matter or anything? No, therefore, is that the cessation of that one? So that's why you see this linking to this diagram itself, that the, with the liberation, it doesn't, if the consciousness get hold of anything, then the name and form come to existence. When the name and form come to existence, then the whole paticca-samuppada, dependent origination, will continue. So if there is a liberation, and you are not letting anything come in, and that's the end of the discourse. Okay, we have to do it in four parts. So we will stop for today then.